Welcome to tonight, Foundations. We are starting our world religion studies. So we're going to study several world religions. I can't remember all of them. Tonight will be Judaism. Next week, I think if they stay with schedule, there was some talk about maybe flipping it, but it should be Islam next week. And then I think Hinduism and Buddhism, and I'm not sure of the others. So that's as far as I can give you. So anyway, it'll be a good time. It'll be a good study. The goal is to kind of give an overview of each of the world religions, kind of give you a background of it, kind of a little bit of history of the religion, what their sacred texts are, kind of their background a little bit, what they believe, how they practice. And then probably the major focus will be how we differ. What is the difference in our belief and their belief and why that matters. So that's what we'll be discussing over the next several weeks here in Foundations. All right, so if you got your outline, you can bring it out. I'm going to kind of introduce to you. We'll start here with a word of prayer, and then we'll start our lesson tonight. So let's do that. Father, we thank you for your love for us, for your care and grace to our lives, that you've allowed us to understand the truth of the gospel and your word. Help us to live a life that reflects that truth. Help us to live a life that proclaims that truth and one that shares it with those who need to hear it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, so we're going to go over a little bit of Judaism tonight. As you are well aware, there are a lot of similarities, right? We share a lot of the same beliefs in the Old Testament, but there begins to be a division very shortly after the Old Testament, really. Jesus is the reason that there's a separation. We'll talk about that here as we go through it tonight. but just kind of a real quick overview, and then we'll get into it in detail, is that, you know, a lot of people believe Jews are, you know, geographical. If you were in a certain area, then you're a Jew. Or if you're part of the line of Judah, are part of Israel, then you can trace your lineage back to an Israelite, then you're Jew. Some people say, well, you're not Jew unless it's a religion. So there are a lot of different opinions when it comes to Judaism and how that operates. Some think it's just a culture. Some think it's strictly a religion. So there's a lot of talk and debate about what that really is. What we're going to look at is their teachings and their beliefs. Not going to really debate who is and who is not a Jewish person. The Jewish people believe traditionally in Hebrew Bible. They call it the Tanakh. I'm not Jewish, so I can't give you the real. I'm not like Kyler and can talk all that stuff. I don't have the inflection, but it would just sound real bad from a redneck to give you all that Hebrew inflection. So I'm not going to do it. So it's the Tanakh. That is their sacred book. The first five books is the Torah. It's made up of three different categories. It's basically our Old Testament, but it's arranged a little bit differently. I think they have 24 books, and we have 39. There's a little bit different arrangement. It's all the same books. They're just kind of split up a little bit different and arranged a little bit differently. But I think we have a little bit different arrangement. Actually, I pulled a different what the differences are. And let's see. So in the Nevi'im, which is, it's broken up. So the Tanakh, if you can hear the Hebrew in that, is actually made up of the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. So you have the Book of Moses, the prophets, and then you have the writings, which is what that's split up into. Of those 24, there are some differences, like their Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah are combined, and when ours are split up. Ezra and Nehemiah are split up. First and Second Chronicles are split up. Esther is a shorter version in the Tanakh than it is in our Old Testament. So there's a few little differences in that regard. So just a little tidbit of information there. But what they believe Moses is a big part. He's their major prophet. Abraham is the first Jew or Israelite. He is the major player in their belief. They believe in what's called the fulfilling the mitzvah or their divine commandments. There's 613 that you have to abide by to be able to make yourself righteous in some way, to be presentable to God. They don't really believe in heaven and hell kind of the way we do. They don't believe in salvation in the way that we believe in salvation, or heaven in the way of that you and I would believe in a heaven. So they believe, like, when you die, the afterlife, that you basically are kind of in your soul reunited to God in some specific way or some kind of general way. But it's not like you and I would describe heaven being in glory with Jesus for all of eternity. It's a little bit different, and only if you're a Jew. So, like, basically, then there's different, now, to be clear, there's different sects of the Judaism. So there's different beliefs within Judaism about this. There's a lot of different opinions. So when that comes out, they do believe, a lot of them don't believe in hell at all. And if there is a hell, it's just a short time of divine punishment. So that's kind of where we're at. So Judaism, the history of it, where did it come from? Judaism is one of the oldest religions in the world. It's monotheistic. That's the big push, one God. They don't believe in the Trinity as the way you and I believe in the Trinity, because then that would make Jesus what? God, which they do not believe that Jesus is God. So they are a monotheistic religion, meaning God alone. This is a really, really old religion. It's traced back to ancient Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We could pretty much identify everything in their history as is same as our history. That's kind of where it's the Old Testament, it matches up pretty much the same. So whatever you believe about the Old Testament, they typically believe exactly the same. All right? Same Ten Commandments. Moses was the one that led them out of Egypt, led their people out of slavery. There's other major players: Abraham, King David, King Solomon ruled the kingdom during the height of its power, prosperity, until conquered. You know, remember when the Assyrians came in, the Babylonians came in, they conquered the Jews and the Israelites. There was a captivity for the Assyrians, captivity for the Babylonians. After a period of time, then they were sent back into their own land. Judaism underwent kind of a period of reformation and reconstruction. There was a second temple built, and that was eventually destroyed again. So then you started having, after the Old Testament period, you started having Pharisees and Sadducees and the Essenes. This started talking about, these were leaders in the church. The Pharisees we know all about, they had all the rules. The Sadducees, all these people begin to develop all the different ways in which you should operate, you should live your life so that you can please God. Now, during the Roman occupation of Judea, a Jewish teacher named Jesus came on the scene and kind of began to mess up this Jewish way of life. And so they hated him. And still today, don't believe in him. Some of them won't even say the name of Jesus. Some of the different sections of Judaism, which is about five major sections, four we'll discuss today, but they won't even say his name. Some will say that he is a teacher, a good teacher, but not God. And then some will just flat out say he's a false prophet. So there's just various ideas about who Jesus was. Now, where do they get their authority? What is their sacred scripture? Okay, the central text of Judaism is the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh. It's also the primary source for everything that they believe. It's broken into three different sections. I told you that earlier. The Torah, T-O-R-A-H. That is the first five books, the ones that Moses wrote. Then you have the prophets, or the Nevi'im, and the writings, which would be the poems and stuff. That is the Ketuvim. That's how it's broken down. The Torah, the law, the instruction, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's considered the most important part of the Tanakh. It contains foundational laws, commandments, the stories. The same that we have is the same that they have. It contains the creation story, the story of Moses' exodus from Egypt, and all the major teachings that we have as Protestants here. The Nevi'im, which I believe is spelled N-E-V-I-U-M, this section includes historical books, narrative and prophetic writings like Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the 12 minor prophets. These are all in this section of their Tanakh. So it encourages people to have obedience to God's laws, and then also the writings, which is this section is the books of poetry, the wisdom, the literature, and some historical accounts. This includes books like Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, books like that. Ezra and Nehemiah, which are combined as well. So that's how the book is broken up. Now, it also provides the foundation, how they practice all their teachings, how they celebrate all their festivals and feasts. That's how they study this. All their scholars are invested in the Tanakh. But also, they have what's called the Talmud. It's considered an authoritative text in Judaism. Now, it's a little bit different because it's a collection of Jewish teachings. There are over 2 million words in the Talmud itself. So it's not just like one book. It's not like, you know, you can go and open it up like the Bible and read it. It's a ton of teachings. It's a lot of different sacred teachings of Jewish commentary on the Hebrew Bible. It's also composed of the Mishnah and the Gemara. It's a huge library of works. And this is where they get commentary on the laws, the Jewish laws, how they should operate in life. Now, the Jewish law is also known, and this is another Hebrew word, it's halakha, okay? And it's basically, it means law, it's the way they translate it today, but really in the Hebrew word, it actually means the way to walk or walking. So this is how you should walk in life. The halakha is H-A-L-A-K-H-A, or you can spell it H-A-L-A-C-H-A. It means this is how you should walk in life. This is where they get the Jewish practices and customs, how they should do daily life, how they should practice everything within, I mean, it just has a wide range. It kind of touches every single subject, including prayer, your dietary laws, how to handle the Sabbath. This is how they operate. This is what they use to govern their lives. It's derived from the Hebrew Bible and the Talmud. It is what governs how they operate on a daily basis, okay? And even in contemporary situations. In addition to that, they recognize a few other writings. The Midrash, that is M-I-D-R-A-S-H. It's a collection of Jewish stories, parables, teachings that provide commentary on the Tanakh. It's both legal and non-legal materials, often used to help understand and interpret the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. There's also opinions written by rabbis over many centuries. Like, they're not only do they have, you know, heroes of David and Moses and all the other patriarchs that we would have, but they have heroes that are rabbis, and they love these men. These are men that existed later in life and wrote a lot of these works, especially with the response of literature, which gives them guidance on how to apply Jewish law in different situations and help shape Jewish tradition. So this is who they spend a lot of their time reading. It gives them a little bit more that they can go on. So this is another one of the books that they use. You see, it becomes, there's a whole lot. Like if you want to be Jewish, you got to be able to read a lot. This is something you have to participate with a whole lot. There's a lot of different writings that they use and philosophers that they use to give authority to their lives. More than just the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. There's also like the Shulchan Aruch, which is a code of Jewish law written in the 16th century by Rabbi Yosef Karo. It kind of synthesizes the Mishnah Torah and other legal writings to provide practical guide for Jewish religious practice. This is, again, more writings that help guide their lives. And there's a whole lot. I mean, I told you there's like 2 million words of the Talmud that exist. I don't have enough time to give you all of those things. Just wanted to give you some. Now, Judaism is the monotheistic religion. It believes in one God who continually is active and involved in human life, but he's active in this way. He blesses those who do good, right? You have the mitzvah, you follow the law, you do good, and you get blessing. You do bad, and you get punished. And you have the free will. You, as a human, have a free will to choose to do good or evil. And this is where when you're born, unlike the Christian religion, you're born not with original sin the way we would describe it. When the fall happened with Adam and Eve, they don't believe that it affected all men. They don't call it the fall like we would recognize it as a fall, where every human being is now in a situation where they cannot do good. They cannot please God with their actions. The Jewish religion, Judaism, would teach that you can do good, that you are good. You're good in as a born person. You're inherently good, and you can do good things. The mitzvah, the commandments, you can do all 613 and earn good righteousness before God. And so that's how they believe. This is where one of the things we would differ. In Judaism, there's a concept of salvation, not like ours, but it closely tied to the observance of Jewish law. So if you observe Jewish law and fulfill God's commands, you understand the dietary restrictions, you follow those things, then salvation is this more of a collective redemption. So you can kind of collect things as you go. I do good deeds. I follow these dietary laws. I'm pretty much a reasonable person. I read the Tanakh. I pay attention, observe the Ten Commandments and then all the other commandments that are involved. I earn, as a good person, many points towards the righteousness towards God. So that's how they actually believe salvation works, in observing these laws, dietary restrictions, following these commandments in a positive way. So repentance and forgiveness is in part of their religion. It's emphasized, but it's more acknowledging your mistakes, making some kind of amends. It's kind of like a penance with the Catholic belief system. So there'd be some kind of, if I've done something wrong, I owe you. And this can be tied back to the Old Testament, like, you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If I do something wrong, I need to make amends for it. I need to make restitution. I need to pay for it. I need to make it right. So this is how they approach righteousness and achieving salvation in their religion, making some kind of amends to do better and then promising to do better in the future. Good deeds are performing acts of kindness and charity. They're an important part of the Jewish practice. They actually have names for these things. They're called the tzedakah and the gemalot chesedim. That was pretty good. I said those really, really well. I've practiced those all day today. You try to say them. Let me spell it for you. You ready? They're T-Z-E-D-A-K-A-H. The tzedakah. That's acts of loving kindness. And the gemalot chesedim. Okay? Or that's acts of loving kindness. I'm sorry. And then the tzedakah is the charity towards others. So you should have charity towards people, and then you should act on those. Those are two different things, but they're part of earning righteousness. They're part of doing good deeds to gain favor and righteousness towards God. So those are things that they actively are participating with and doing on a daily basis. There are rules to that. They actually have classes on how to operate in those ways. And it doesn't always mean money. So like if you're doing good deeds with your tzedakah, it doesn't mean you have to give money. You can. That would count. That's being charitable and giving. But it also means your skills. So if you have skills that you can donate or give in some specific way, then that's how you can operate in that way. And then acting on good deeds by doing something helpful. Mercy ministry in some way, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, those kind of things. Doing something physical for someone else. Those are good deeds, okay? And also praying for people. These are practices seen as ways you can connect to God and please Him for righteousness. Now, there's basically four major branches of Judaism. So we'll talk about it in this way. So first of all, there would be Orthodox Judaism. Okay? I'm probably not keeping in track with the outline here. I've got one up here for myself. So history, their scripture, we talked about their scripture, and now we're talking about their theology, okay, what they believe. I'm still on that, what they believe. So there's Orthodox Judaism. They emphasize the importance of traditional Jewish. This is the halakha, which is the guide, the law, the way of life, the walk that you should practice and believe. They emphasize the traditional Jewish law. They're very strict on this. They believe the Torah and the commandments are divinely inspired and should be observed in their original form. These are the people that you would see, the Orthodox. They dress real traditional. They have the long beards and the weird stuff. No, just kidding. I'm sorry. But they were very traditional people. They're very specific and strict about it. They maintain traditional gender roles with men and women often separated during prayer services, and they encourage intensive study of Jewish texts and rabbinic literature. So that's what they're very toe the line. They're real conservative in their beliefs, and they're real strict toward the original Judaism. Then you have conservative Judaism. These are values, tradition. They value tradition, but also acknowledge the need for flexibility and adaptation to modern times. So this would be like your Ben Shapiro's and those who are, they'll wear the yarmulke, they'll wear their hat, and they're real specific about they want to do that in the synagogues. Like the Orthodox Jews will always cover their head, and the men in this sect will do it when they're praying or when they're in some kind of synagogue, not all the time. There'll be times that they won't as much. There'll be some flexibility within the way they operate. They still honor the teachings of the Orthodox Church. They tend to be more open to modern scholarship and critical approaches to Jewish texts than the Orthodox Judaism. They place a strong emphasis on Jewish law, but allow some flexibility to its interpretation and application. They generally maintain a traditional approach to gender roles, but has allowed for greater participation of women in some aspects of the Jewish ritual and leadership. So they have a little bit more flexible outlook on their religion. Now, then you have the Reform Judaism. They emphasize individual autonomy and personal choice in matters of belief and practice. They're way more liberal and progressive. They view Jewish law as evolving and subject to change based on contemporary needs and values. They generally adopt a more liberal approach to gender roles with greater participation of women in all aspects of Jewish life. They emphasize the social justice and pursuit of repairing the world. So that's what they are. Social justice is a big part of the Reform Judaism group. This is what they want to do. They want to really recognize a need for justice. And really, the Jewish Judaism is really concerned, hyperly concerned, all of them, every sect is hyperly concerned with this life here on this earth. where Christianity is really concerned about the eternal and not so concerned about temporal, Judaism is really concerned about this life now, right here, the temporal, and not so much concerned about the eternal. They're really worried about right now, how you live now. And then you have the Reconstructionist Judaism, which they would believe that Judaism is constantly evolving, and it's more of a civilization than just a simple religion. Places a strong emphasis on Jewish culture, history, tradition, as well as ethical values and social justice. So they're still progressive here. They believe that Jewish law and practice should be interpreted in light of contemporary needs and values, and that the community should be involved in a decision-making process. So just a lot more progressive in the way they believe. They value Jewish tradition, but also what is going on today. They want to include all the new things. So this is where you would have some people allowing different beliefs that are real popular today and kind of allowing those things into the church. Now, what are some distinctives about Judaism? What do they practice? So there's a number of practices they have that are specific to the Jewish life. They observe the Sabbath, okay? They call it Sabbat. They do this weekly, which begins sundown on Friday and sundown on Saturday. This time they refrain from work, engage in prayer, study, and spending time with family, depending on which sect they're in. Could be like the Orthodox Jews, don't drive. You can't even drive on the Sabbat. Don't even drive. Where you have the more conservative Judaism would be, you can drive to church. You can participate in those kind of things. But it's very, very important to them. They refrain from engaging in frivolous activity and really try to spend time in prayer and with their family. Family's really important to all the Jewish culture. Other important practices include the dietary laws. They prohibit consumption of certain foods. You know, very specific about being kosher, especially the first two sects you have, where Orthodox and conservative are very concerned with their dietary laws. They're very specific about that. They don't eat pork or shellfish. They use separate dishes for meat and dairy products. And circumcision is also common among those groups. The tzedakah also is what we talked about earlier. It refers to the word obligation to give those in need. It's Jewish tradition. It's seen as a way to promote social justice, fulfill the obligation of helping those who are less fortunate. It's considered a mitzvah, which is, you know, mitzvah meaning commandment. You're fulfilling the commandments. So it's one of the core principles in Jewish practice. They practice this act of helping those in need. Okay, it's an obligation they have. It also involves giving financially, also their skills. We talked about that a moment ago. And then the gamelet kesedim is also referring to acts of loving kindness. This involves acts of generosity towards others, acts of charity, visiting the sick, providing comfort for those in mourning or in need, food, those kind of things. It's a way for them to emulate God's kindness and bring compassion and love to the world. It's also a way for them to allow God to be pleased with their lives. This is what they believe brings them closer to God, a connection that allows God to love them more because they're active in these two activities. All right. Now, the Hebrew word mitzvah is obligation, commandment. It's a good deed. It refers to the 613 commandments, or precepts given in the Torah that are considered the basis of Jewish law and practice. It covers a wide range of actions, attitudes, including the kindness, prayer, ritual observance, ethical behavior, social justice. It's seen as a way of connecting with God to fulfill one's purpose in life. Those things are very important to follow in Judaism. It's something that they believe gives value to their life and also gives them some kind of value in the eyes of God. So it somehow lifts them up in God's eyes. Now, Let's talk about the differences. Okay? How is it different than the Christian gospel? So, let's talk a little bit about original sin. All right? What is original sin? What does that mean when we talk about original sin? In the Christian faith, we believe when Adam and Eve sinned, the fall happened on the man, that we now are corrupt. When Adam fell, that sin, that fall, affected all mankind, all men and all women to follow. This is why when Jesus was born, he was born of a virgin and not affected by the fall of man, the seed of Adam. This is what we believe. We believe that you never taught your kids, you never sat down and looked them dead in the eye and said, this is how you lie. This is how you be selfish. This is how you never had that conversation with your kids. It came built in, right? It came ready to go. Nobody ever taught you how to be selfish. Nobody ever taught you how to sin. It came built in. We believe the fall of man affected every single human. Jewish culture, Judaism, doesn't teach that, doesn't believe that. They believe that everybody is inherently good and can achieve righteousness. You can, through the mitzvah, achieve righteousness before God in fulfilling the law, which we know that we break the law probably every single day, every minute of every day. Somebody is breaking the law, or you're breaking the law in some way. So they don't believe in original sin that we believe in. This is why we believe it's important for Jesus, who walked the face of this earth, and he did so. And you hear Pastor Clint say this a lot. You hear him say the term active righteousness, right? You hear him say the term that he lived the perfect life and earned righteousness on your behalf. So you've heard him say that. What that means is he fulfilled the law, the mitzvah. He fulfilled every law that's in the Torah. He fulfilled every law that was required of man to be righteous. Jesus is the destination of the law. He's the finisher of the law. He acquired the law for us. He achieved the law on the behalf of you sinners and I as a sinner. He achieved it on our behalf. Not just that he went and died on the cross to pay for our sin, he acquired righteousness on our behalf. He earned it for us. Okay, so he earned righteousness, and that's the exchange that we talk about all the time in the worship center when Pastor Clint is preaching from the pulpit. He talks about it. You hear him say it all the time, the great exchange. So Jesus earns righteousness. So he earns, think of it this way, like a coat. He earns this great white coat. Mm-hmm. And then you have a coat that's full of filthy rags. It's dirty, it's disgusting, and it's all your sins are marred and exposed on the outside. It's a disgusting coat that you're wearing. And at the cross, he exchanges. He gives you his active, earned righteousness that's clean. He takes your dirty, filthy rag of a coat and puts it on and pays for your sin. He does that for all of those who will ever repent and trust Christ as Savior. And he does it at the cross. And that is what takes place. That's the difference. Where the Judaism doesn't believe you have original sin, and there's no need for him to earn righteousness on their behalf because they can earn righteousness on their own. That's what all those good deeds that they do, all the really kind of strange words that they have, that it's basically earning good works and making themselves, making themselves approved by God so that God can look at them and go, okay, you're righteous enough, you've earned enough righteousness to be with me. Well, we know that you can't do that. You can't do that. We'll get that in just a second. And so when you can't do that, because Jesus Christ is the only one that can fill the righteous work on the earth. He's the only one that can fill the law. So one of the key differences is the belief about Jesus, right? So Jesus, he's the really, like when we go through these world religions, when we go through them all, the major difference, the major player, the one big thing that's always going to be different is Jesus. Everybody's okay. When you walk around the world and you go, oh, I believe in God, nobody really gets up that upset. Right? Nobody really cares that much. But when you say, I believe in Jesus, that's when tones begin to change. That's when things begin to make a little bit of a difference. Well, what do you mean you believe in Jesus? That's when things can kind of go sideways. They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is. They don't believe that Jesus is God. I talked to you about that just a second ago. In the very beginning, what did I say? They don't believe in the Trinity because they don't believe Jesus is God. They believe in monotheism. We also are a monotheistic religion. We believe in one God, but we believe in one God by three persons, right? The three persons of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three equal in essence. All three equal, but one God. So we believe in one God, three persons. That's called the Trinity. It is unique to Christianity. It's what we believe. It's one of the foundational truths of Christianity. It is a major difference between Judaism and Christianity. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They reject it completely. Christianity places a large emphasis on faith and repentance in Jesus. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We repent from our sin. Remember the dirty coat. Repent from our sin and place our faith in the work of Jesus. His finished work in life and on the cross, that's what we put our faith in. This is where we believe that's different. Judaism doesn't really talk about heaven. They really don't talk about hell. They don't talk about those things. They don't talk about that in the way that we do. They don't really have much of a concept. In fact, there's a lot of differences that they talk about. If you kind of go and research Judaism, they may be four or five different beliefs about the afterlife from different different types of Jewish leaders and teachers. So they emphasize the importance of religious observance and fulfilling God's commands through adherence to the Jewish law. We emphasize putting your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, because we believe that we can't earn that righteousness on our own. We believe that God is the only one, or Jesus is the only one that can do that. So we do have some things that we believe as a church that you're supposed to observe. We call them the ordinances of the church, one of those being baptism and the other being the Lord's Supper. We believe those are important, and it's part of what we're supposed to recognize as a church, as Christ has commanded us. They have a whole lot more ceremonies and a lot more religious activities that they're supposed to adhere to. And the only thing that we're doing is observing baptism, which is being connected to Christ, right? Both of these are connected to Christ. Baptism is buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. We do that. We also believe that it's being submerged in water. So it's a full submersion in the water. It actually, baptizo does mean to be plunged. So that's what we believe actually takes place at baptism. We also believe in the Lord's Supper. It's also commemorating what Christ has done. His body was broken and his blood was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. So it's a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So those are things that we believe. But it's about Jesus, and it's completely different than Judaism. There is this idea that Jesus is evil. Some of them won't even say it. But let's just talk just for a second. They have very common, their scriptures are very similar to ours, if not almost exactly the same, just arranged a little bit differently, okay? Genesis chapter 3 says this, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first gospel. There is a foreshadowing. There is a first gospel presentation that Jesus coming. The Messiah is coming, and he's going to bruise your head. He's going to destroy you, Satan. You may catch his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. He's going to destroy you. And also, I want to read to you really quickly Isaiah 53. And this is in the scriptures, the Tanakh, that they have. And I want you to see this. If you can just kind of think about Jesus, because this is who it's about, as we read this. Isaiah 53 says this. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and is one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned every one of us his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be steadfast. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. If you could read Isaiah in light of historical Jesus, you might just believe. If a Jew, someone who practiced Judaism, could read Isaiah 53 in light of historical Jesus, they might just believe the truth. They might just turn to Christ. And that's our goal, is for them to understand that Jesus is the fulfillment. He is the coming Messiah. They believed in a coming Messiah, but they do so in more of a political way, in a way of reestablishing their land and reestablishing a home here, than they do in an eternal way, that Jesus can fulfill the righteousness of God, can fulfill the law of man, or law of God on the behalf of man, and can also take the punishment of man on the cross, that Jesus fulfilled all things and paid the price for all men that will repent and trust him as Savior. And that's what we try to teach the people that are believing the lie of Judaism. It is a lie. It is an incomplete religion, because what they teach in the Old Testament is right, and it points to Jesus, and they just miss Jesus. And if you miss Jesus, you miss it all. If you miss Jesus, you miss it all. And that's the problem with all these world religions, is they get Jesus wrong. Let's not get Jesus wrong. That's all I have. Let me pray. Dismiss you guys. We'll get out of here a couple minutes early. Yep. All of it. They believe, they celebrate David, they celebrate Solomon.
If I'm thinking about David, if I met David today and talked to him about what he believed, how much of this would apply to him? Because some of that was written later,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that probably a lot. You got to remember, too, even in the New Testament, that was Judas's major problem. Judas's major problem with Jesus was that, hey man, you're supposed to set up a new kingdom. This isn't right. We should do good deeds with this money. You know, he was fake. He was just worried about himself. But he's using the traditions of the Jewish culture to promote his own lies, right? So that he really wanted Jesus to set up this kingdom. He wanted to be a part of the new kingdom and the Messiah that was setting up something on earth for them there. But it wasn't really an eternal thing, and he was misunderstood. And that was what the problem was with the disciples all the time. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. You don't really kind of get what I'm saying. And that's why when the new covenant, when he was crucified, it was the final Sabbath, right? It was the last one. And it was the last one that mattered. And so that was it. Yep. Yeah, I mean, Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm unfamiliar with everything, the tenets of a Messianic Jew. All the ones that I have spoken to that have told me that they're a Messianic Jew, that believe in Jesus, they're Christians. So they believe in Christ, they believe what Christ has done is fulfilled the law for man and died on the cross to not only earn the righteousness of man, but pay the sins, and they put their faith in him, then yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
So when you say Judaism, you're not talking about...
No, I'm talking about the traditional teaching of Judaism. And like I said at the beginning, there are many, there's many different versions and ideas about what Judaism teaches. There's a lot. So, yes, ma'am. Yeah, they actually do have them in a big list. So they have you probably can pull it off the internet if you'd like and look at it. They actually have to memorize it. So yeah, that's one reason I would not be Jew. I don't have a good memory. So okay. Yeah, one more.
There was one other category of Judaism that we learned about, and it's called a secular Jew.
Okay. Yeah.
Calling yourself a Jew, but you're secular and don't follow
right.
The religious
yeah.
Tenets of Judaism,
mm-hmm.
but you still refer to yourself as a Jew.
Yeah. There are so many different ways that people interpret that. You know, some people only believe in a geographical Jew or a lineage, you know, by lineage you're a Jew, and they don't necessarily believe it as a religion. So there's so many different, it's a little bit murky. Sometimes, so what people classify Jews and how they classify them. So, all right. Well, let me pray, and then you guys get out of here. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the new covenant. I thank you for Jesus fulfilling the law that I could not fulfill, that he actively earned righteousness on my behalf and then paid the sin that I deserve, the one I earned a punishment. And he earned righteousness. And yet, I got his righteousness for his payment for my sin. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for Jesus. I pray right now that you'd minister to all of our hearts, all of our souls. Make us more bold to share the true gospel to people we come in contact with on a regular basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.